because you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here. Let's open our Bibles this evening to 1 John chapter 3. And beginning at verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read a wonderful promise for this hour, knowing that the great manifestation of the Phaneroo of God, the great appearing, the great apocalypsis, the unveiling and the manifesting one's true character, that we are to be like you. And knowing this, Father, it can only come because your seed is in us. And so, Father, we pray that every seed that is yours would follow the law of reproduction, which says that every seed after its kind, after its nature. And so we ask that the nature of you, Father, might be in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening, we'll look at paragraph number 79 through 83 of the spoken word as the original seed. And I believe we'll find that Brother Branham is beginning to turn a corner here in this sermon. From the pattern of Christ, who is the original seed, to the sons who must come into the image of the firstborn son. And of course, Jesus being the original spoken word seed, there have got to be other seeds that would come forth, because Jesus himself said, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter won't come. He said, it's expedient that the seed be planted into the ground. I must die, because by planting the seed into the ground, it'll come forth a hundredfold. And so we recognize that the very life that was in Christ must be in us, as Paul said, if the life that is, that if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead be in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. Now, picking up at paragraph 79 tonight, Brother Ram said, now, yes, sir, he is. That's why God could work through him. And what did he say when he was here on earth? He said, I do nothing until the Father shows me perfectly. And anything he done always was vindicated by the Scriptures. He says, search ye the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. And if I don't do the things that they said they did, then I'm not that original seed. But if I do the things, then why don't you believe me? That's right. If you can't believe me, the way that I stand, then believe the word that I say, believe the works that I do, because my seed can only bear forth what I am. And that's the truth for every one of us. You know, Brother Ramsey, what we are here is only a reflection of what we are somewhere else. And so what you're reflecting here actually is showing who you really are. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, we read, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, that's really the issue that we seem to be dealing with in these last few years. Now, the problem I see in the message is that, Brother Bramson, people are always looking forward, like people are looking for resurrection, they're looking for return ministry, whatever. People are always looking backwards, they're looking at God sent a prophet, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But they're failing to recognize what God is doing here now. Now, when he said that, he means what he said. In other words, people are failing to recognize what God is doing in June 16th, 2009. What's God doing for you today? You see? Not what he did in 40 years ago before you ever knew what was taking place. You were just, most of your weren't even a thought. Well, you were still a thought. You were in God's thoughts, but you weren't even in your parents' thoughts because your parents weren't even married back those days. They were just kids themselves, if they were that. I mean, I was 12 years old when Brother Brian went off the scene. So we can't be looking back and saying, okay, what did God do? What did God do? What did God do? Or what's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he doing now? You see? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Notice, therefore the world knoweth us not. It doesn't know us. Why? Because it didn't know him either. And that is the issue that we're dealing with. People question your motives because they do not know the Father. If they knew who my Father is, then they would know why I'm about my Father's business. That should be what your thoughts are tonight. If they knew who my Father is, then they would know me. That I'm his son, that he sent me. Isn't that why Jesus had to deal with the same problem? Because if he is the original seed, then he is the pattern. And if he is the pattern, then we must have to go through the same trials to be molded into the same image. He said, if you had known my Father, you would have known me. Because my Father sent me. My Father's life is in me. He said, if you had known my Father, you would have known me. And that's the issue that Jesus had to face. John chapter 8, verse 19, he said, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. Again in John 14 and 7, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Why did they give Jesus such a hard time? Well, because he didn't come to their group. He didn't acknowledge their group. Brother Branham didn't acknowledge any group. You don't acknowledge a group. It's not a group thing. God deals with individuals. He came for sons. William Branham came for sons. Pull one here, pull one there. You see? You see, we've been studying this sermon of Brother Branham's. And Brother Branham said, when God has a word for a certain hour, then the vessel or vessels that God chooses to manifest his word for that hour, those are the manifested word of God for the day in which they live. Then when you see what is being done, and you enter into that portion of the word of God for that hour, you then become the manifested word for that age in which you're living. Now, we all know the quote where Brother Branham talked about John 14 and 12. And then he said, now you all can't be that one. And so we say, okay, when the finger's doing it, the hand's doing it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's all fine and dandy. But Brother Branham, if we would take the quote further, Brother Branham said, he said there was only one Paul, one John, one Jesus. But he said, but they would not have had a ministry if there had not been a people to listen, to hear, to receive. You see, hearing, receiving, and acting upon the word. If there was not a people to hear, receive, and act upon that word, then Jesus himself would not have had a ministry. William Branham would not have had a ministry. You see, we got our eyes always on the man instead of the vessel, instead of the man as just a vessel that God himself is working through. Now, John is saying, beloved, now, today, June 16th or June 17th, 2009, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He's saying here, look, we are seed of God, but it really doesn't look like we're seed of God at the moment. Then he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Look, John is telling us that there's coming an hour when we will begin to become like the one we are seeing manifesting himself. But that knowing and being known can only come at his appearing. This word phanero is the word appear. And he's talking about the hour when God comes to manifest himself in his true character. And that's this hour. And we shall see him as he is. And so in seeing him as he phanerous himself, as he really is, we begin to come into that same image and we begin to manifest ourselves as to who we really are as well. And we are sons and daughters of God. And let me tell you something. The entire word for this hour was not that God sent a prophet. That's only a part of it. The other part of it is who that prophet was sent to. Because there's more scriptures about who that prophet was sent to and who that message was for than there is about the vessel who brought it. And then he says, and so in seeing him as he truly is, as he phanerous himself, we begin to come into that same image and we begin to manifest ourselves as to who we truly are, sons and daughters of the living God. And every man that has this hope in himself begins to purify himself even as God himself is pure. In other words, when you truly recognize who you really are, you begin to overcome what this flesh, this vessel, these hang-ups that we have is. Now, what does that mean? In other words, as Brother Branham said, if you have the gene seed in you, then when he manifests as he truly is, we must also manifest what we truly are, and that is seed. And when we realize that, and when we begin to live like that, and when we begin to talk like that, we begin to act like we're supposed to act. And we say only what he says. We act only what he's shown us to act. We have no doctrine but his doctrine. We have no will because we've given up our will and received his will. You see, then we begin to be the manifested word for this hour. Because the manifested words for this hour was that God himself would come down with a shout. And that shout is to take a hold and transform the minds of a bride. And our focus has been on the God who's come down, but we need to begin to think about the bride who's supposed to be changed by it. In John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. Now, in paragraph 80 of the spoken words, the original seed, Brother Bram said, the cockabur can only be a cockabur. You could hybrid it with anything, but it's still a cockabur. That's right. It'll express it. That's the reason that a dual is a hypocrite. That's a hybrid. Now, Brother Branham is not talking about the duality of Christ here. Because Jesus Christ didn't have a different nature from the Father. By one Spirit, he was baptized or born. He was born into the family of God. By one Spirit, we are baptized into one body. We have the same Spirit that Jesus was born with. Therefore, what's our problem? Well, the problem that we have is that we were born with a spirit of the flesh as well. Brother Brown said we were allowed that spirit. And so you were born with a natural spirit, a spirit of the flesh. But then when you're born again, there's another spirit, and that's God's spirit, God's life. The problem is that we don't die to the first spirit. And when we don't die to the first spirit, and the second spirit is struggling to gain ground, if you want to call it that, taking over our mind, taking over our spirit, what happens? We become hypocrites. We got a dual nature. You see? We talk one thing, we do another. We desire, as Paul said, to do what's right, but our body of this death does what's wrong. And Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. So how do we overcome? Just let go. Let God. What is so important to you in this life that you just can't just let go? Why can't you use this life to prepare for the next? This is just a you young kids don't understand it, but we older people do. I still think I'm 18 sometimes in my mind, because 20 years ago, 30 years ago, well, it's more than that now, 38 years ago, I was 18, but it just seems like the days have just slipped by, the weeks slipped by. You know, I'm kind of into a routine here, and you all are, because you go to work, you know, same time every morning, you come home same time, you're in a routine. And the first thing you know it, it's a weekend. And then you go to work again, you go through the grind again, and it's like you have a Monday and a Friday, or a Monday and a Wednesday, and there is no 5 days a week anymore. It's just all blending together, just becoming just a quick, everything's happening. Well, if you realize that, then why can't we just live every day for Him? Prepare ourselves for Him. You see, if we are the Word for this hour to be manifested, if we are the sons of God that are to be manifested, and the whole creation is groaning and waiting for us, then let's step to the base, up to the plate. Let's step into the revelation. As I said, Brother Branham said, God waited on Jesus in Gethsemane to make up His mind. And Brother Branham said that was His greatest victory. He said Calvary was not His victory. Gethsemane was His victory when He made His mind up to step into it and become the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. He knew it. He said, this is the reason that I've been sent here to do. So He knew it. But he had to make up his mind that he was going to do it. Brother Ramsey, when Moses, when God spoke to him, and Moses raised the rod and the waters parted and everything else, you know. But Brother Ramsey, the waters didn't part until Moses stepped into the water. God said, speak and go forward. And so if he just spoke and didn't go forward, nothing would have happened. But Brother Ramsey, he had to step into the water for the waters to part. You see, you have to step into the revelation that you have of who are you in this hour. What is your position in this last days? What has God called for you to do? You see, what is your part in it? The fact is that God wants to live out your life in you. He wants to have your circumstances to show Himself in those circumstances. He wants to live in your life to show Himself that this vessel, your vessel, my vessel, that same spirit that was in Christ, that was victorious to the cross, can be victorious in your circumstances as well, in your life as well. And so what do? We just need to let go and let God. You see? Now, in paragraph 80 of the spoken words, original seed, Brother Brown said, the cockleburr can only be a cockleburr. You could hybrid it with anything else, but it's to be a cockleburr, that's right. It'll express that because that's what it is. And he says, a man claims to be a man of God and denies the word, he's just a hypocrite. A mule that claims to be a horse, he's not a horse. He says, well, I'm a donkey. He's not. And he's neither one. You're a hypocrite. You're a bastard born. Just exactly, that's flat, but that's what it is. It didn't aim to be that. Man done that with his wisdom. That's where he gets. That's where all man wisdom winds up, to be bastard born. All right. So a man that claims to be born of above and lives like a devil is a hypocrite. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In James 3:11, he said, doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet and bitter water? Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fig vine, a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So you see, you can't have two natures and not be a hypocrite. So what do? Well, we must die to our first nature and live by our second. That is what the new birth is supposed to do in us. But we must die to self and rot out before God can bring forth His own God life into us and manifest His own life in our mortal bodies. Paragraph 81, Brother Branham says, now, that's why Jesus so perfectly manifested God, or God was so perfectly manifested in Jesus, because He was the Word of God. He was God's Word. That's the reason He couldn't produce nothing but just exactly God. And if God is in you, what more can you be? Brother Branham's laying out the question. If the same one that was in Christ is in you, now he's not talking in the fullness, but still, even in whatever measure, it's still God. Now, that is why I'm trying to drive home tonight. If you have the same Holy Spirit, then you're not going to be questioning my motives for what I'm doing overseas and teaching our brothers about their relationship with the Father and how that Jesus is our pattern as a firstborn son. No, instead, you will want to do whatever you can to see your younger brothers and sisters in the Lord are brought up to speed as to their relationship with the Father and with His firstborn Son, so that the resurrection proceeds. You see, the hour of the prophet is past. We're moving into the hour of the resurrection, and before the resurrection, the body has got to be changed. After resurrection, actually, the body has to be changed. Because during the resurrection is actually when we get our change. But see, if the body is not ready for change, and it's only ready for change by having a right mind, and you've got to have the mind of your Father in order to receive the adopted body. Because Paul called the redemption of the body, he said he called that the adoption. He said the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. Now, Brother Brown continues, said, didn't Jesus say of the prophets who the Word of God came to? Who did the Word of God come to? He said the prophets. Didn't Jesus call them gods? Why? God was manifested in them. What was it? The spoken word manifest. See? That's it. He said, how can you deny and say, if you had any wisdom, you'd understand. He said, how can you say, well, we call them, or God himself called them gods, and said, how can you then say that you believe them and deny me when I say I'm the Son of God? Why didn't they see this then? What's Brother Branham doing? He's saying you can always look backwards and you can see who God used in the past, but you can't see who God is using in the present. You see? That's what they always miss. Brother Branham doesn't answer this, but I'll tell you why. Because they were focused on the Word. Excuse me, they were not focused on the Word for their hour. They were focused on the man. And that is why when Paul came along, the apostles all missed what God was doing through Paul. Because Paul got it. He was not focused on the man Jesus. He was focused on the Jesus that met him in the form of the pillar of fire on the road to Damascus. That is why those other apostles missed the glory of what was happening in Paul's ministry. And it was not happening in their own. Basically, the other apostles boycotted Paul. Well, they did. Paul was left to himself. Because Paul was focused on God, but they were focused on the man Jesus. They sat around in headquarters, Jerusalem, and they were putting out. Who's in the message? Who's not in the message? Paul comes around and say, we don't need Paul because, you know, he's got his own little thing going. He claims to have, you know, something with God, but, you know, he didn't know Jesus like we do because we met the man, we fished with the man, we ate with the man, we had breakfast, lunch, dinner. We were on the road with him 24/7. We know Jesus. And they were looking for the return ministry of the man, and they failed to recognize the return of the pillar of fire in their midst. Oh, yeah. So they missed him. And they missed the glory of that tremendous ministry that opened up churches from place to place. When Paul was the first to go from place to place to place, country to country to country, and established churches, established sons and daughters of God into the kingdom of God their Father. Because Paul was focused on God, but they were focused on the man, Jesus. And so too in this hour, the brethren have been so focused on the man, William Branham, that they have missed the one who was sent to introduce, them to. And so when Brother Vail came along, they questioned his motives. They said he had his own message. Why? Because they looked for the return of the man. While he spoke of the return of the pillar of fire being right here among us, leading us to a millennium. Now, don't you think that that same thing isn't happening again to those who have followed Brother Vail's ministry? They have their eyes so much on the man, they've missed what he saw. Oh, they can quote it, they can talk about it, but they sit back in their little kingdoms and they won't step forward to help the last Son of God come in and get child trained. And they could be doing the child training because they've been trained themselves. You've all been trained in the doctrine. You see? Then we can all go home because Brother Branham said we're not going home till that last one's in and child trained. and they don't recognize what's going on today. But that is what Paul said. That is what set Paul so far apart from the others. Not what he knew, because they all knew. They knew Jesus firsthand in the flesh. They ate with him, they slept with him, they knew him firsthand, but Paul had his mind. They didn't. Paul understood his message by the scripture. They didn't. Paul told them, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Who was he talking to in his day when he wrote that? To the heathen? No, to the other sons of God in that hour. Just as Christ did more than all the other prophets combined, so too Paul did more in his ministry than all the other disciples did combined, because he had the mind that was in Christ. And he was willing to go where Christ wanted him to go. And they were still looking backwards, still looking forwards, and they failed to see what God wanted done in the body of this flesh. Now, God wants your body. He wants my body. He wants to manifest himself, his life, in us, through us. And he wants to use your body and your life circumstances to do it. Paragraph 82, Brother Branham says the same thing today. He said, I'm that seed that was to come, the woman's seed. He said, I'll give you a seed to the serpent, even. The serpent had already defiled her, he said. But thy seed that I'll give you shall bruise his head. It'll take that thing back again. Amen. I just wish everybody could see it. I've come to conquer and correct what Eve has done. And the only way that I can do it is through a woman that believed the seed, where a woman didn't believe the seed. Woman believed the word where one didn't believe it. I'm that overcomer. I'm the one that's come to give life, that through my death to pay the penalty of what she done, through my life will be given to you to flow over you, and you'll be sons and daughters of God. See? As long as a seed's in there. You hybrid it and you ain't got nothing but a denominational bastard child. That's all. Anything deny the word? Excuse me, sisters. I want you to. I've just got to say it. Just the way that it says it here, see? And that's the way it is. All of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken Word again, like in John 3. See? To be born of the water and Spirit. What does it do? Then it brings you right back again under the place where you shouldn't, where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason of Christ's death. Brings us right back again to where sons of God, if Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth, but she had to walk over here to play the part of a whore. Brother Branham is saying that Eve had the opportunity to bring forth the Christ child, and she muffed it. If she would have received that seed into her, instead of fooling around with the other seed, receiving the other person's seed, she would have brought forth the Christ child. We wouldn't have had to wait 2,000 years. So what seed do we have in us today? What are we doing with the seed of God? The spoken word is the original seed. Okay, now we know two things that I'd like to discuss here. Number one, he said all of God's sons must be the same. Paul said we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn in a vast family of brothers. If we're conformed to the image of the firstborn, then we're going to be the same as the original seed. Galatians 4:1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So you see, no man knows the day or the hour except the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So you see, the whole plan of redemption lays in adoption, the placing of sons. And because you are sons, Now listen, because this is the key. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now point two. He said, then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. Where's that? Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy. That's our state. And without blame, that's our status, before Him or in His presence. In love, having already, past tense, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now you have to be one of His children to be considered for adoption. Then you have to have the mind of your Father in order to be adopted. But according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So who did it? He did it. You can't make yourself accepted. That's what He's already done for you through the blood, you see. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So you see, before the foundations of the world, God planned the whole thing to bring us to the point of adoption. The point of inheritance. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So how do we get inheritance? Through Christ Jesus. Now look, the law of inheritance is that when the oldest son is of age and has the mind of his father, he's taken up into a high place. He's dressed in fine clothing. And then in front of many witnesses, his father bestows upon him the adoption. And then when that firstborn son receives then at that time 50% of his father's kingdom. Then upon the death of the father, the other 50% is distributed among the other sons. But what if the father never dies? Then there is no inheritance for the other sons. So Jesus Christ, your eldest brother in a vast family of brothers, He laid down His life in order for you and I to receive our inheritance. And that is why we are called joint heirs with Christ. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that's being born again into the family. See, Brother Bram said the problem is, the new birth, he said, that just gets you into the family. He said, then you need to be adopted. And he said, that's the right kind of a son. You've got to be about your father's business. So if the father tells you to go here, you go there. That's his business. He does it, you go, you do it. Jesus said, the Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. He gave us what to say. We just go and we say what He already said. You see, we're not great scholars. We're not. Brother Vail's not a great scholar. You know, that's just old-fashioned preaching. You know, I could take and show you in many, many of his sermons where the material came from. Nothing's original. Nothing's original. Except for the original seed. You see? But it all comes down. Everything you know, you were taught by somebody. I can tell you when he's preaching from Spurgeon or when he's preaching from some of the other great noble people that lived 100 years ago. The books are all out there. I've read the books. I know where he's talking from. And I know when he's bringing it out right from what Brother Branham says. And I know where Brother Branham got it from. You think Brother Branham came up with that on his own? You think he was a great scholar? I don't think so. None of us are scholars. It doesn't come by man's wisdom. Jesus said, I don't say these things of myself. He said, the Father speaketh, and I speaketh hitherto. The Father worketh, I worketh hitherto. The Father works, and I work. I just do what he does. He tells me to do. I could sit there right now with Gabriel, and I could mention some words to Gabriel. He'll mention the same words back. He's very good at imitating. He's very good at saying the same things that you say to him. That doesn't make him a scholar. It just means that he's a son. You see? And he can repeat. He can say. He can do what his father tells him to do. He can do what his father says to do. You see, so if God says, I want you to go here, then go there. Do I have to have some great thing worked up? And no, I just go. And when I'm there, the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. And if it's the Holy Spirit, it'll be successful. If it's not, God didn't send you. You see? Now, Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why do we have so many people in the message under condemnation? When there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Either we're in Christ Jesus or we're not. If we're in Christ Jesus, why do we have condemnation? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. In other words, if you don't have the literal life of your Father, you're not a son, literally speaking. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. That's righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's not by what you do. It's not by your mustering up. It's not by your being able to, you know, somehow do things that you couldn't do before. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying if the Spirit of Christ that raised up Christ dwelleth in you, it'll quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Just let him do it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. Now here's the key. If we are sons of God, then God wants to see in us that which would please him for a son to act. So our character is very important concerning the time of adoption. For when the elect knows who she is and are ready to be placed as sons, then we will go to our eternal inheritance and not until. That's why when Joseph Branham was just quoting his daddy, he said, God is waiting on the bride to be ready. And God is not coming until a bride is ready. And some ministers mocked and they just said, you know. And he was quoting his daddy. They didn't know he was quoting his daddy, but he was. It's like years ago I mentioned, Brother Branham said, the attitude you take toward a person could determine their eternal destination. And one of the brothers said, well, I disagree with that. You know, where does predestination come in and all that, blah, 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 blah. Well, if they read the church age book, they know there's ones in between who gave a cold glass of water to someone in the name of Christ and they received a reward, an eternal reward for that act of kindness. That's why we're supposed to be salty. That's why we're not supposed to be ill-tempered. That's why we're not supposed to be standoffish. That's why we're supposed to reflect Jesus Christ so that the people want more of what we've got. Or at least they will treat you in a great, kind way so that there will be a reward for them on the other side. That's why I don't believe God is coming for a bunch of bastard-born or illegitimate acting people who think they're so high above everybody else. God doesn't. Brother Branham said, I hate class. And I hate it too. I hate it when people think that they're above. Like Brother Branham said, if it rained, they'd drown. Because their nose is so high in the air. And that's the truth. And listen, that's all throughout this message. You got people that just think they're somebody. Like, you know, hey, I've been in the message 20 years, you know. Brother Branham said, listen to this. He said, God thinks no more of you ministers than the drunk that got saved an hour ago. The drunk that got saved an hour ago probably doesn't even have all the vomit washed off of his clothes yet. And God thinks just as much of him as he thinks of you if you've been a preacher for 20, 30, 40, 50 years in this message. Who do we think we are? I think I'm a son of God. Not the son of God. Of course I don't. He's my eldest brother. Brother Branham was an older brother. Brother Vail's an older brother. They're just brothers of mine. But my father is the same father. You see? So I could be your older brother, but I'm not your eldest brother. I'm just a older brother. You're older than Simon. Right? Your dad's older than you, and on the other side, you're all going to be brothers. One's a little bit older than the other. You see? So we should act like brothers. Talk like brothers. Comfort one another as brothers. Encourage one another as brothers. And when a brother goes out of his way to help another brother, we should be there and say, what else can I do to help you? What can I do to help my brothers who are less off, or who are less, you know, as well off as we are? You see? For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory, the doxa. You know what the word doxa is? It means the very mind of God. In the Greek, the word doxa means the opinion, means the values, and the judgment. Now, as a father, Peter, as a father, your desire is to make sure your children have your same values, right? Your opinions. You like them to have your opinions because they're based on the Scripture. You want them to have your judgments because they're based on the Scripture. Well, see, that's what that word doxa means. And so when we come into the glory of God, we're coming into the very mind of God, the very values, opinions, judgments. The same mind that was in Christ, He wants in all His kids. Not just, you know, this guy because he's a 70 or 90 year old teacher. He wants it in all His children. You know, you might expect more out of someone who's older than another person, but you still want all your children to have the same values. And if one lies, it's just as bad as if the other lies. You see? All right. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy. Oh, let me just go back. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And as I said, the word glory comes from the Greek word son doxa, which means united in the same doxa, which is the same opinion, values, and judgment. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the doxa, which shall be revealed in us. In us. As He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, in that day when He comes to be glorified in His church. What does that mean? When the opinion, the values, and the judgment of God are in His church. Okay? So He says, which shall be revealed in us, not to us, but in us. The revelation in us, living and abiding in our mortal beings. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, all creation is waiting for you to manifest what you really were ordained to be before the foundations of the world. So if you are sons, then act like sons. Be sons. Take your position in the body. For the creature was made subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of this body. It's like Paul said, you know, when I would do good, there's evil present with me. But who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. And so Paul says the whole creation is waiting for the adoption of the to wit the redemption of our body. For for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth the what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for all the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And as the translation from the Weymouth says, the firstborn in a vast family of brothers. So there you go. It's all about our being adopted. But we cannot become adopted until we are like the firstborn son, who also was taken up and adopted. But we are predestinated for this. So just let go and let God, because God has a plan. So step into his plan and let your own plans go. Brother Branham said Jesus' greatest victory was in Gethsemane, not at Calvary. But in Gethsemane, he said God was waiting for his son to make up his mind. And then when he did, he said, "But not my will, but thy will be done." And then it was finished. The plan of redemption could not be fulfilled until the Lamb stepped aside from his own will and received the will of his Father. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. So if we were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world, then we have already been ordained to receive the mind of Christ. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In closing, excuse me. Do you have one left? Thank you. From his message, Position in Christ, Brother Branham said, "For ye haven't received the spirit of again, a bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." Now, after you're adopted, all right, after you're adopted, you're placed, then you understand, after the ceremony's been said, you've been put into the body correctly. You're a son, sure, a daughter, when you're born again. That's your birth. But now you're positionally placed. We've not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means my God. All right. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Now, notice, it says, the spirit bears witness with our spirit. But we read that our spirit bears witness with his spirit. You see, the Catholic Church sings Kumbaya. You know, we're one in the family, one in the Lord. You know, they all say, well, God is our Father. But he's not. The woman who was 25 years old and she sued, you know, because she wanted to receive the inheritance of Bill Cosby, who's got billions of dollars. He said, well, she's not my daughter. She said, well, he dated my mother in college. And then I was conceived out of wedlock, and I think he was a father. He said, well, tough tootsie, girl. He said, we were friends in college, but I married my wife. And he said, because, you know, your mother was a friend, and because I've got a lot of money, I put you, who were born out of wedlock, I put you through college. Not because you're my child. Well, she contested, so he went to court, and of course Bill Cosby said, okay, let's take a DNA test. They took a DNA test, and of course she didn't belong to him. You see, just because you say that, you know, my spirit identifies with him, that makes me a son of God. No, it doesn't. Does his spirit identify with you? It says, the spirit bears witness of your spirit. And how does God do that? By coming in and living in. He wants your body. As Brother Brown said, he wants my body. He wants to borrow it, loan it to him, whatever he wants. I'll give it to him, whatever he wants to have. You see. For you haven't received the Spirit again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. Now, after you're adopted, all right, after you're adopted, you're placed. Then you understand, after the ceremony has been said, and you've been put into the body correctly, you're a son, sure, a daughter. When you're born again, that's your birth. But now you're positionally placed. We've not received the spirit of fear. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means my God. All right. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How does it do it? You say, glory to God, hallelujah, don't bother me, I'm a child of God, and go out and do the things that you do. The Spirit of God will do the works of God. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See? Now, let's read then we'll have to stop, because our time's getting away. All right, in the ninth verse, having made known to us the mystery of his will, to adopt us according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, he purposed this himself before the foundations of the world. How many understands it? See, that's in the dispensation. Oh my, here we go again. Now, dispensations of the fullness of time. Do you believe in dispensations? The Bible says so. In the dispensation of the fullness of time. What is the fullness of time? There's been a dispensation of the Mosaic Law. There's been a dispensation of John the Baptist. There's a dispensation of Christ. There's a dispensation of church organization. There's a dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now is the dispensation of adoption. Now this is from Brother Branham. Now is the dispensation of the adoption. What the world's waiting and groaning. When the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is the fullness of time? When the dead rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, the fullness of the dispensation of time. Now watch this. When in the dispensation of the fullness of time you might gather together in one all things in Christ, aren't you glad? How is he going to do it? Gather together all things in who? Congregation says Christ. How do you get in Christ? By one spirit we're all baptized into one body. And that body is whose body? It's Christ's body. All right? Already judged. He took our judgment. Then what are we? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Every time he looks at the body, there it is sitting there, bloody. I'm in there by how? The Holy Ghost. He passes over. Oh my. And when the fullness of the dispensation of time, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You see, you don't realize how blessed we are. That Christ is our head. You know, we might be the neck, the arms, the legs, whatever. You know. But he is the head. When I look at you, I identify you by your head, your face. You know? I mean, you could all put your feet out there, and I couldn't tell whose is whose except for maybe by the shoes. And then I'd have to guess. You could put your hands out, and I couldn't tell who you are. But I look in your face, I can tell who you are. You see? So when God looks at the head of the church, he sees the sacrifice. And so we're hidden. See, we're identified with the head. Hallelujah. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. From total deliverance, he says Jesus was completely, totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. You see, he was tempted in all manners like we are. He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations just like we do. The Bible said he did. He was a man, not an angel, above temptation. Hebrews 1 says that he was. Hebrews 1 and 4. He was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man, that God took a complete man to bring total deliverance. And he filled him with his spirit. The Holy Spirit was in him without measure. And he was tempted like we were. But he was completely God. He proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped nature, the roaring seas and the mighty winds, when he spoke to the trees and so forth, that they obeyed him. He was God inside. And he could have been a man, for he was a man. But he was totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. And he is our example. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because though we have his life by measure, if we could just totally deliver our vessel into his hands, just think what he could do. We are men and women. We're also Christians. If he's our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hands of the Holy Ghost, that we might be subjects of the kingdom of God. He was totally man. He was totally God. But he surrendered his natural parts and his physical parts and his own thinking and his own doing and his own cares. And I do only that which pleases the Father. There you are, totally delivered from human being. The priests come to him. The great men said, Rabbi so-and-so, and tried to bribe him. into their affiliations and denominations, but he was totally delivered because he trusted in God. Did not the psalmist say, "Thou wilt deliver him, for he was completely trusted in me"? How about we say the same thing? Do we totally trust God? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, loving Father, oh God, in my soul I just see that my oldest brother, totally man, and yet he was so obedient to your spirit that entered into him, that he let go of his own thinking. He didn't do his own actions. He said, "The Son does nothing but what the Father shows me." He said, "The things I teach, the Father commands me what to say and that I speak." He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. And I did not come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me." Oh God, may your elect children just learn to let go and to let God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Must Jesus bear the cross? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. And then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Oh, precious cross, oh glorious crown, oh resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. First verse again. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.